I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
:31 on New Country YCD, and we wanted to say good morning to Governor Whitmer. Good morning, Governor.
Good morning. Glad to be with you.
We've had about 30,000 people respond to the questions that we put out there, and if people want to ask you questions or they have something that's on their mind, of course, so many people with anger, I guess, and they're upset and things like that with everything going on, which is absolutely understandable. But we know that, you're saying that you're going based off science. And I guess let's get right to the questions this morning.
Okay, well, I will ask the first one. And, Governor, thank you so much for being on with us this morning. You had a press conference yesterday and made this announcement about free tuition for essential workers. And Carrie from Detroit, she wrote in and said that she is a security officer and has been working, all along, has never had a day off since all this began. And she wanted to know, with that great program that you announced, who would actually qualify for that and how does it work?
So we are, I think, the first in the nation to do something like this. It is going to be emblematic of, I think, our commitment and gratitude to people who have put their own lives at risk to take care of the rest of us. And so we modeled it after the GI Bill that was created after World War II. People who served our country, who made an incredible sacrifice for all of us, wanted to be, the country said, we're going to support them now that they've helped us get through this and so that they can make a better life for themselves and the rest of their lives. And so this is about futures for frontliners. These are for people who have been showing up and putting themselves in danger. It's the nurses and the doctors and the grocery store clerks and the sanitation workers and the child care workers. And so this really is a span of people that have been doing what they do, right? They serve the public, they protect us, they keep us safe, they attend to us when we are ill, and they've done it at the potential expense of their own health, and we want to thank them. And this is a way that we can also boost the number of people that have advanced skills in Michigan, and I think that's a goal that benefits every single person in our state. So this person who's asked the question, I think that it sounds as though that they would be eligible for it. And I think hopefully that they'll, once we get past this crisis, be able to make use of it.
Governor,
right, thank you.
A lot of people weighing in saying, when am I going to be able to get a haircut again?
Yes, I know. trust me, I'm in the same boat. I'm contemplating giving shears to my 18-year-old, and I'm not sure if that's a good idea or not.
I would probably hold off on that a little bit.
I know. I haven't seen my husband's hair this long since college.
I'll admit, she's already colored it once. But anyway, I think that, the nature of work is what we have to really assess as we are reengaging sectors of our economy. We're asking questions to make sure that we're scared, that we are able to rate a particular sector for the level of risk that it poses. So we're asking questions like, is the work performed inside or outside? If it's it's outside, it's lower risk. If it's inside, then we have to ask questions. How densely are people doing this work? Are they touching one another? Are they touching the general public? And for these kinds of questions, you can see that any service that is a person providing the service in an enclosed space that is actually touching a member of the general public carries with it a little higher risk. And that's why protocols to bring that risk down are really important, like wearing masks and having sanitizing protocols in place, that once they get out of the chair is wiped down, that if tools are shared between people who are cutting hair, that we get, duplicative tools so that we mitigate how many people are touching the same surfaces. These are all really important things that we have to promulgate in order to reengage safely. And so as we have started to reengage, and we are going to reengage construction, which is further apart, and we've got the protocols to keep people safe, we're going to keep turning the dial. So long as we don't see COVID-19 spiking anywhere, we're going to keep turning the dial and taking the next step. But we've got to have those protocols in place. And so we are working with people in industry to make sure that their ideas are driving the protocols. They're asking for us to do this, because what we've seen in Georgia, for instance, is they've said, go ahead and start going back to work in this particular industry. And people aren't showing up because they're afraid. They're afraid because they don't have the right protocols. And so people who are owning businesses aren't even opening because they're concerned as well. And that's why it's really important we get this right, because when we take this step, we got to make sure that we're confident people can be safe doing it and that the public can feel safe reengaging in it too.
You know, you're right. It's funny. My daughter lives in Atlanta, and she said nobody needs her hair or nails done more than my daughter right now. And she's like, Mom, I'm scared because these places are opening up. And I said, my advice to her was, just because they're open doesn't mean you have to go. You know, so she's not going, just like you said. And along those lines, we have a question. Jessica from Lincoln Park wanted to know, Governor, she said, when will non-COVID medical care resume? She said that she actually had a surgery that was canceled and would love to know when she will be able to reschedule non-COVID medical procedures and dental optometry, stuff like that.
So non-emergency medical is able to get started, and hospitals are working to start getting back into those procedures. Now, there are, it's interesting, people in the legislature tend to say, oh, non-essential. Well, there's no such thing as elective, right? I mean, elective is truly like a cosmetic, but there are a lot of things that are not simply elective. There's time-sensitive non-urgent surgeries, like getting the hip replaced. There's time-sensitive urgent, like an oncology surgery. And there's emergent, when you get in a car accident and you've got to get your femur put back into your leg. You know, these are all procedures that hospitals are starting to reengage with. I think everyone pulled back because early on, before the stay home, stay safe order, the trajectory we were on with COVID-19 was going to overwhelm all hospitals in our state. That's the good news of the story here, is that the people of Michigan did the right thing. You know, an order doesn't fix the problem. It's how people react to that order that does. And by and large, people have stayed home, and we have seen our numbers drop. And that's why now hospitals can start to engage in those types of surgeries, and they are able to do that.
Well, we're happy that, like, the TCF Center downtown only has 14 patients in it right now. So, the good news is that the numbers are coming down. Still a lot of people wanting to know about camping with Memorial Day coming up. Are they going to be able to go out and go to some of the parks and camp, Governor Whitmer?
So our state parks have been open, but for the purposes of camping, where people are using the facilities, the same facilities, I think that that's still an outstanding question. And we are working 24/7 with our epidemiologists and public health experts, as well as, industry leaders, as we are assessing risk inherent in different activities. And so I can't, give you a final answer on that right now. But what I can say is that where we were 3 weeks ago was so dramatically different than where we are now. The amount of information we've learned, the amount of lives that have been saved because we've pushed that curve down. You know, where we will be 3 weeks from now could be very different than where we are today. And that's why It's really important that we are consuming all the data, that we are working to understand it and to do everything we can as we take the next steps to keep from having a second wave. And that's what drives everything. It's the data and the science more than, you know, a desire to reengage, because trust me, I want to start doing all these things as much as anybody, but we just have to be smart about it, because none of us wants to be back in a stay home order in August or September or October. We don't want to do this again. And that's why reengagement has to be done right.
Well, I understand that. That's why I think California is taking a step back now and closing the beaches again. And I'm guessing we don't want to have to take a step back as we're, you know, continuing pretty good progress.
Yeah, taking a step back is one thing, but going into a, you know, coming out completely of a shutdown and then going back into it is another. And as we've seen from other parts of the world that have been through COVID-19 earlier than we have, is that those that just simply dropped all their social distancing requirements had a second wave, and it was more economically damaging, and it was more, I mean, obviously more lives were lost because of it. Those that have slowly reengaged stay able to reengage and don't get that same second wave. And that's what we need to avoid. And that's why, you know, as impatient as we all feel, it's really important that we do this incrementally so that we don't have to be doing this again.
And last question from Jamie Martin wants to know, as hundreds of other people, about the Canterbury Drive-In Theater that was closed.
Yes, so we got 10 questions yesterday about drive-in theaters, and I don't know what this was the first time that we'd gotten any questions, and 10 came in one day. You know, this is something that I think is a unique opportunity to look at in terms of re-engagement. It is one that we've not gotten through scoring yet in terms of risk and what that timeline might be. But because it's outdoors and because people are in their own vehicles and not in shared spaces, this is one of those things that might be lower risk on the scale, and we might be able to re-engage earlier than other entertainment venues. And so we are, this is on the radar. We are moving forward, and hopefully by the time it's warm enough to start going to outdoor theaters, we'll be able to engage in that.
Well,
Governor,
hopefully...
real quick, I know we have to let you go, but I do want to ask, because a lot of people ask this question, and I promised I'd ask about that. A lot of people are still having some frustrations getting through to unemployment. Any hope there? What's being done?
So we've helped over 800,000 people in Michigan, hundreds of thousands. But when over 1 million people are unemployed, that means there's tens of thousands who still haven't been helped. And it's cold comfort to them that we've been able to do so much, and I think better than other states have. So we've quintupled the number of people that are working the phones at the UIA in order to assist people who need that one-on-one help to get through the system. We've had a 5,000% increase in terms of people that are navigating UIA. And so even a 5 times the people on the front line tells you that we're going to have some work to do yet. We're going to continue to put our nose to the grindstone. The important thing is no one's going to get penalized for not getting it through in a timely fashion, as used to be the case, because I cut that red tape. I also extended the amount of time people are eligible, and so they'll actually get more unemployment support. But, you know, it is frustrating for those tens of thousands of people, and we're working to make sure everyone gets the unemployment that they're eligible for.
Governor, thank you so much for your time this morning. We really appreciate it. We know you're a busy lady, and hopefully we'll hear more on your next press conference and an update for everyone.
And you stay safe. You thank you.
Stay safe.
This is New Country 99.5 YCD.
Pretty good. Just didn't get to the questions about the numbers, but she'll be glad that we didn't.